Much of the budget speculation has centred on measures affecting older Australians. And this morning we see in the papers the good news that employers may get a $10,000 incentive payment if they take on a worker over the age of 50 and keep them on for at least 2 years. But on the flip side, it looks like incentive payments for apprentices may get the axe. It comes at a time when the number of people in apprenticeships is falling year on year, and the ageing population means the need for skilled workers is only increasing. We're joined now by the CEO of TAFE Directors Australia, Martin Reardon. Mr. Reardon, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Morning, Alan.
Let's start with the $10,000 payment first for older workers. What's your view of that?
Well, I'm a bit suspicious of the motives, really. I mean, quite frankly, we've had massive increases in schools and university funding, but the funding for skills has declined, and just giving an employer an incentive payment to employ someone over 50 is not going to fix a skills crisis. And we want that money really to be going into investing in skills, whether it be a younger or older person.
And so how much of the problem in the skills crisis could you solve with older workers?
Well, a lot, and a lot are getting involved in more and later age training. In fact, half of the apprentices that are now doing training are over 25. So there's no reason to suspect that won't even intensify. But giving an employer $10,000, I mean, we're yet to see the detail, but it does sound unusual. And we have seen for almost 10 years now since the Commonwealth got involved in skills funding, a whole series of patchwork type incentive type payments rather than any overall strategy. And that's really one pledge that the Minister, Mr. McFarlane, in his new arrangements has indicated. He wants to streamline the portfolio. So I just don't see how it would work.
Just very briefly on that point, because we need to move on, but we hear again and again about the sort of prejudice that older workers face in the workforce. Surely then a $10,000 incentive payment is a great headline incentive to hire an older worker.
Well, it is a headline, and I guess that's the concern. We've seen, you know, year on year, media inclined payments which sound good but don't do anything for skills, and I guess that's our suspicion from TAFE point of view.
Okay. There's speculation in the papers today that these incentive payments, $5,500, which as I understand it is a mid-apprenticeship incentive payment, will be axed. What's your view on that?
Well, the Coalition, to be fair, did pledge that they would try to put loans rather than incentives up as an option in this first budget. So we're again going to be looking at the detail on that. We have seen almost a 30% decline in Australian apprentices over the last 3 or 4 years in most of the core skill areas. So it is a very critical issue. We see the bigger and the bigger option really is to get people to be an apprentice, and whether that be motivating employers or getting people out of school to consider a skills rather than university option where they're a real job. So we're seeing a failure really in these incentive payments to make that change.
So you're saying that the incentive payments weren't doing what they were designed to do. They're not enough of an appeal. Are they part of that patchwork you're talking about?
It is part of the patchwork, but equally I think it would be unfair if the student allowance was taken away but the employers was retained. So I hope that there's some sort of equity and streamlining in what, as the Minister had undertaken, he'd seek to do.
Last year we saw a report come out that suggested there's going to be 2.8 million shortfall in the number of skilled workers we need by 2025 due to the ageing population and other factors. What's the challenge? What does the government need to come up with, if not the sorts of incentive payments you're talking about that they seem to be proposing to give on one hand and take away on the other? What needs to be done?
Well, I think that we've seen good messages, I think, from Susan Lee and from Christopher Pyne that schools and skills training would be intensified, and hopefully the apprenticeship system can be pushed down as an option for more for school students, and hopefully also some deregulation of the tertiary education sector, which has been very skewed to the university sector, albeit it's a very good one. So, you know, we want to see, I guess, some real focus that a career choice for school counsellors, they can put their hand on their heart and truly say that whether they choose a skills career or a professional university career, that it's an equally and good choice.
Then another potential budget move in terms of the deregulation of higher education is a suggestion that private TAFE providers would receive Commonwealth funding for their services to increase the competition in the sector. Would that be of assistance?
I think it would be of an assistance that at the moment Australia is about the only country of many OECD skill colleges, whether they be public or even private. However, most are public who receive for their students some sort of subsidy if they do a higher level qualification. At the moment, TAFE students and private college students who do that are excluded from any public contribution, and I don't think that's fair. And I also know that that's what employers are wanting. They're wanting more job ready and people who have done internships and other sort of approaches through their courses, and that's what we offer really.
And so what change would be needed to change that around?
Well, we see that the option that Dr. Kemp and Andrew Norton put up in the report that Minister Pyne has seemingly favoured of opening up funding beyond universities for degrees is a good move. I think pricing will need to be looked at. We don't have a real problem, I don't think, on differential pricing. But, you know, I think this is an opportunity for more student choice, and we hope that it's not just student choice at university level, though it's also further down at school. So that's why we're hoping for a better playing field or platform in terms of both payments and different funding schemes.
It's 10 minutes to 8 on RN Breakfast. My guest is the CEO of TAFE Directors Australia, Martin Reardon. Martin, another element that might come in terms of the suite of measures affecting the skills environment, the suggestion that long-term youth unemployed might be forced to move in order to continue to receive unemployment benefits. How is that likely to impact the world of work?
Look, I hope that a move like that might be linked to an opportunity that that people can also upskill at the same time. We don't have a philosophical view either way, and it's not something that's been put to us. But I think one of the concerns that we have is someone who might be encouraged to move to another place may not have also upskilling opportunities, so that the move can have a beneficial effect on the long term. And I mean, that we've seen even in AFL and the other football codes that when young players have been asked to move, they're also given an opportunity to do a skills course. So I don't think this is unreasonable that something might be accompanied by that.
Yes. And just finally, if we can return to the $10,000 payment, I'm wondering, what sort of jobs might it create? What sort of employers do you think, from experience of this sort of thing, because there was a similar scheme under the Keating government, what sort of jobs might it create?
Look, I know that we do have a very major challenge with the changes in the car industry and other manufacturing. And so I can only guess that these sort of areas might be targeted. But TAFE's alternatively been involved with helping the Defence Force in terms of upskilling and gap skilling those exiting the Defence Force. I don't see that there can't be a similar sort of approach to manufacturing, and I think that we need to look very carefully about these sort of payments, and we'll be looking at it after tonight's budget.
Okay, and I'm tempted to just push one more question, and that is, what did the Keating government program work?
Well, it was a start, but unfortunately, it really was the forerunner to this patchwork quilt of payments.
Okay.
That's the problem we had.
Thank you so much, Martin. Martin Reardon there, my guest, the CEO of TAFE Directors Australia.